importance of holding on to what God has given us and placed in our lives, because there is something to it. There is something to it. Amen. Esther, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. We're going to be starting a series called My Calling, My Purpose. I'm constantly challenging people to step up and try to be better, challenging people to do more, challenging, because we've got to be reminded. It's easy. We're always looking for comfort. We're always looking to sit back and take it easy. We're always looking to find that space that we feel like is our sanctuary, where we can just get to a safe spot and there's no pressure, there's no stress, and the one thing that God did in a perfect utopia, he told Adam to dress the garden. That means to serve. That means that in the perfect utopia, and everything was perfect and everything was right, in order for Adam to be happy, he still had to have a place to serve and to work. And so Esther, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, it says, "Then Mordecai came and answered unto Esther, Think not of thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house for more than all the Jews. For if it altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." He's saying there's going to be revival. God might not, you know, a lot of times, you know, we've got to understand that God wants to use us, but God doesn't have to have us. He'll go find somebody else to do what you're called to do, and then you'll be miserable and frustrated, and you'll be watching. So that's why some people get so frustrated. They look and they watch, and they look at the, like they'll see the Sunday school department, and they'll go through and they'll nitpick and find everything that is wrong, and they'll be frustrated. See, the reason we get frustrated sometimes is because the people that are doing it might not have been called to do it. They're doing it out of necessity, and the person that is called to do it still has a burden and a desire, but they're not doing it, but they can still find everything that they would do differently because that's their calling. Does that make sense? And so when you're not completing your calling, you find yourself most miserable, because where you know you're supposed to be, you'll find yourself nitpicking where somebody else is doing what God has been calling you to do. That's just the way that it works, because you know how it should be done. You have a burden for it in there. You're just not doing anything with it. And so we'll nitpick what somebody else is doing, that it might not be their exact. They might should be working under you instead of being where they're supposed to be. But because it's somebody isn't where they're at, then they're having to step up and do what maybe isn't completely their forte or their calling. Does that make sense? So God's telling the children of Israel, hey, guess what? He's telling Esther, Mordecai is telling Esther, there's going to be revival. We're going to get delivered. We're the people of God. And he might not have to use you. If you won't do it, trust me, he'll find somebody else that will. But don't think you're going to get out of this unscathed. But thy and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And this next part I'm just going to throw in there, because it's another series that we're going to be starting here this Sunday. It says, then Esther bade and returned Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. There is something powerful about fasting. There is something powerful about resisting yourself and saying no. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights, or day. I also that my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Lord, we ask you this morning, Jesus, that you would put a burden on our heart, that you would speak to us, that your will and your way would be done in us and through us this morning. Lord, that you would challenge us, that you would speak into our DNA, God. Lord, that you would give us a desire and a burden, God, to stand in the gap and to be the men and women that you've called us to be. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. I took the boys to Galveston this past week, and evidently me and dirty, nasty, oily ocean water don't mix. And so if I sound like I'm struggling this morning, it's because I am. And so Ephesians, the 1st chapter and the 17th verse says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is a scripture that I am constantly using in my own personal life right now. When I go to pray, this is a scripture that I'm going to, because He's talking about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Open the eyes of my heart, God, that I may see what You want me to see, that I may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory and the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to His mighty power. That when we are with Him, that we have power. That when we serve Him, that we have power. When we are submitted to Him, that we have power. That when we're filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we have power. It's Proverbs 18 and 16 that says, a man's gift maketh room for himself. Make room for him and bringeth him before great men. That every person in this room has been given a gift. Every person in this room has a gifting inside of you, a calling, an anointing, a purpose, a plan. That there is something that God has placed in you that is a gifting in you. See, a lot of us, we get frustrated with life because we're not pursuing our gifting. We might be pursuing something else, but God has placed something in your life that is a gifting. He's placed something in your life that is a purpose, that it is a gifting, it is something that He has called you to do. And so we've got to pursue that gifting. Romans 11 and 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That there has to be a desire for the gifting that God has placed in your life. There has to be a desire to be used in that gifting. I've watched people my gifting is not singing. I would be most miserable up here singing. I remember when I youth pastored in Lufkin, Texas, Sister Scoggins required me to be a part of the choir. If you're going to work at the church, you're going to sing at the church. And I was terrible. It was horrible. And the person I've told you stories that whoever I was singing next to, I was so close we could have kissed because I needed to hear what it sounded like so I could stay on key. And the whole choir would be moving because the person next to me would be trying to get away from me. And I was most miserable because that's not my calling. That's not my gifting. Now, my wife, she loves it. That's where she's at. That's her in her forte. She loves doing that. And if I ask her to get up and speak this morning, she would be freaked out because that's not absolutely her gifting, which I think it's in there somewhere. And I don't know where she's at, but it got, you know, it's a, and but so we all have different gifting, different abilities, and different purposes. See, we've got to be aware of what it is that God's doing in our lives. We've got to be aware of who we are and what we are. Some of us need to go home and open up a nice big book of self and begin to examine ourselves and begin to figure out, okay, who am I? What am I? What am I doing? What's going on in my life? That we've got to be self-aware to what's going on. So many people are just oblivious to everything that's going on around them. I remember one time we were in Columbia and we were in the market, and these guys were following us and they meant us harm. And somehow, some way, we went on a youth on missions trip with 21 females and 3 males. Now, I don't know how that worked out, but there was 3 males, and the missionary dropped us off in Bogota, Colombia, at a market and left us and never came back. I don't know what happened. I don't know where he was. I don't know if we made him mad, but finally the bus driver showed back up without the missionary. This is before cell phones, and it was getting dark, and these men were following us. They were mingling in and out of these women, and I'm an 18-year-old kid, and I'm over there and trying to get in between them and the girls, and I was afraid. I was literally afraid for my life. And these men that had grown men, these weren't working at the crosswalk kind of guys, and I was afraid. And these girls were oblivious because they had purses on sale, and they had trinkets and just oblivious to life. And these men are all touching on them and trying to get in their bags. And me and the other two guys were worthless. And so I'm over there trying to run around, and they're standing in the corner saying, not today. And you're on your own. And they're just oblivious to the world. And that's the way some people live. They're just oblivious to what's going on around them, who they are, what's going on, what they're doing, and their own lives. They're just oblivious to what's going on, even in their own lives. We have to be self-aware. We have to understand who we are, what we are, where we're weak, where we're strong, where we're not doing good in, where we should be doing better in. See, a lot of times, especially being a minister, the pressure to be good at everything can be crippling sometimes. That you've got to be perfect at this, 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 and this, and this. And God's saying, well, this is your calling, and this is your gifting. This is what I made you good at. This is what I've made you good at. And a lot of people now are saying, quit trying to get good at everything. Start taking what you're good at and perfecting that. That if your ability is to get up and to communicate is your gifting, focus on your gifting. Yeah, you've got to work on other areas, but you've got to begin to focus on what you're good at, because that's the gifting that God has given you. You're never going to be able to take a gifting that you don't have to 100%, but you'll be able to take the gifting that God gave you to 100%. But sometimes some of us settle with getting a gifting that God hasn't placed in our lives to 40%, and then we only get the gift that God has placed in our lives to 60%. Some of you need to quit worrying about trying to be all things to all men. Figure out what God has called you to do. Figure out what your purpose is. Figure out the gifting that God has placed in your life, and then pursue that gifting. Try to make that gifting something that is a 100%, that is something that is awesome, that makes you stand out above all the rest, that makes you better at what you do. You look at Judas. Judas obviously had a gifting. Out of all the 12, it was Judas that was given the money to be distributed to the widows and the poor. Judas obviously had a gifting. That's why Jesus chose him and gave that to him. What we do with that gifting determines what happens. I imagine when he was first given that gift, it was something that he had already been doing in his life. It was something that Judas was already good at. He was good at pinpointing the people that had needs. He was good at distributing. He was good at keeping track of the money. He was good at making sure the money went where it was supposed to go. That is a gifting. That was something that God placed in Judas' life. That is something that Judas had. That's where the reason Jesus chose him to be a part of that. Now, either your gifting will make you or break you. Your gifting will either catapult you, or it can cause you to fall, because the same gifting that helped him distribute it to everybody was the same gifting that helped him manipulate some of it into his pocket, nobody noticing. The same gifting that helped him distribute it to each and every one of the widows that they encountered, the same gifting was also the same gifting that he was able to move some money around where nobody noticed that, hey, this amount was given, but this is the only amount that was going out. And so he had a gifting, but what did he do with that gifting? Absalom had a gifting. He could inspire people. He could challenge people to follow. He could challenge people to get on board, but his gifting destroyed his life because he used his gifting for the wrong reasons. We look at Peter. Peter obviously had a gifting. Out of the 12, it was Peter that stood on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all who are far off, even as many of the Lord thy God shall call. People received the baptism of the Holy Ghost all over that place. He obviously had a gifting, an ability to explain, an ability to create faith, an ability to create an atmosphere where people could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important that we have an evangelist. Evangelists have giftings. They have abilities to come in. and God is giving them a gift that they can pray people. I've watched it when I evangelized, and I could pray people through to the Holy Ghost, and man, oh yeah. And then when I begin to assist, it was a little bit different. And man, I'd pray for a guy and pray for a guy, and I'd pray the same prayers that I'd prayed when I was evangelizing, and then the evangelists would show up the next weekend, and bam, they'd be prayed through and falling out, and oh my goodness, that was the most powerful prayer I've ever prayed. I'm looking at him, I'm like, he just walked by and tapped you on the head and said, receive. Like, I've been praying with you for weeks, but there's something about the giftings and where you're at and the place that you're in that God uses those giftings. That's why we have evangelists, because they can come in and they bring faith. There's a gifting that comes with that. That's why it's important to have evangelists. And so there's a gifting that comes with it. We see Philip in John 1:45. It says, and Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good that come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. Philip was a soul winner. Philip could go and find people and convince people that they needed to come and find Jesus. That was his gifting. He could go to people and he could sit down with them and he could teach them a Bible study and explain to them that they needed to be baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ and that they needed to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Read in Acts 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, and the way, and goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went, and behold, an Ethiopian. A eunuch, a great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. He had charge of all her treasure. This man obviously had a gifting. He had charge of all of her treasure. He was gifted. And he came to Jerusalem to worship. He knew that there was something missing in his life. And as he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Elijah the prophet, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. That he went and he taught this Ethiopian a Bible study. He sat down with him. They opened the word. He explained the word that he was reading to him more perfectly. And then if you read on, he baptized the man in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. The Ethiopians, when you talk to them, some of them will go back to this scripture and say that they've been having revival ever since that day in the country of Ethiopia. There's been amazing things that have happened over the years in Ethiopia. We read in Acts 12 and 7, this is going back before, it says, but when they believed Philip preaching these things concerning the kingdom of God. Here's Philip again. He's teaching the word of God. He's explaining to them the word of God. He's talking to them about what they need. It says, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. He continued with Philip. This is Simon the sorcerer. He was able to convince a sorcerer that he needed to be filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was intrigued. He had the ability to talk to this man. He had the ability to sit down one-on-one and let him know that there were some things that he needed in his life and things that were going on that he needed to be baptized. And he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs and the wonders that were done. Now then, the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They've received the word of God. They've been baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, but they had yet not been filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. And so what happens? Then sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet there was fallen upon, it says, none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. You had one man that had the ability to teach. He had a gifting to explain that they knew that they needed it. And then there was somebody else that stepped in with a gifting that could raise the faith of a crowd. As Peter, here he is again, standing in his gifting, speaking and leading. Now, Peter, come to find out, wasn't the greatest leader of them all. He had some areas of his life that were weak. Now, as long as he stayed in his gifting, he could pray anybody through to the Holy Ghost that needed the Holy Ghost. But when he stepped out of his gifting and he started trying to be the one, the leader, the one that brought, the one that led, the one that tried, he had in places in his life that were weak. He could easily be manipulated. He could be challenged, and he would back down from the things that he believed in what God and dreams had given him. He was at Cornelius's house praying people through to the Holy Ghost. And James, the brother of Jesus, the pastor in Jerusalem, shows up and says, "This is not for everybody else." And what does Peter do? Well, oh shucks, you know, all right. Well, I'll come back home. And we've got to find out what is our gifting, and we've got to stay in our gifting. We've got to find out what it is that God has called us to do, and then take hold of what God has called us to do and run with that. Find out what God has called you to be and do and run with that, and quit trying to do something that God hasn't called you to do and being discouraged with it. Amen? Ananias and Sapphira, obviously, they had ability. You read in chapter 4, there was a man by the name of Barnabas that had ability. Yeah, he was a Levite. I'd like to do some more research into this. He was a Levite. Levites didn't have property. Levites didn't have a lot of money. Levites were a part of the priesthood, and they weren't given any land when they moved into to Canaan's land. But this Levite had the ability to make money. He had a gifting, and he had a gifting to obtain property. And he sold that property and he gave it to the apostles. And there was another man that had a gifting by the name of Ananias. He had the ability to obtain. He had the ability to have a money mind. And he did the exact same thing. But we read about Ananias and Sapphira, where he took his gifting, and the same gifting that helped him obtain it was the same gifting that also helped him to put some of it into his pocket. And so we find these people that are gifted, these people that God had called. You find Martha, who was gifted. Martha could wait on a house. Martha could get things together. Martha could be there and begin to work, and she could make everybody feel welcome. She could make sure that everybody knew their place, and everybody had food on the table. And that is a gifting. That is an ability. Not everybody can do that. That is a gift from God. There are some people that are like, pizza's in the microwave, good luck. Martha was like, "Hey, I've got steak. I've got pork loin. What do you want? Let me make sure you're comfortable. Is this good? Is that good?" And she was wired that way. It was a gifting that God had placed in her life. You look at Lydia. Lydia was also a businesswoman. There's something here that God had given her a gift, that she sold purple. We read about it in Acts 16, that she was very wealthy and that she had the ability to obtain money and to make money. And she was a worker. But you know what she also was? She was a prayer. This woman that had a gifting also had a relationship with Jesus. And you find her down by the river praying. Now, there's a lot of different things that you talk about, how that Paul goes, and he goes to Thessalonica, and he's there, and he was called there, a man from Macedonia crying out to him, and he gets there and he can't find anybody, and he goes down by the river, and what does he do? He finds a group of women praying down by that river. Now, when you read about that church in Revelations, that church was started by Lydia. Lydia was the one. She was able to finance. She was able to bless. She was able to help because of the gifting that God gave her, because of who she was and what she was. I imagine that the prison guard also had something to do with it. There was a reason that God called them out of revival and sent them to Macedonia, and he only encountered two people that really he impacted their lives. I imagine those two people helped start the church. I imagine that prison guard was somebody that could get up and speak and communicate. And Lydia was in her gifting, that she could help finance and get in the prayer room and pray. I imagine that those two people had a gifting that worked together, that because they built a powerful church. There was a church that was there because of two encounters of two people that had gifting and somehow, some way found their place in that gifting. It's when you find your gifting and you do what God has called you to do. You look at John Mark's mama. John Mark is the man, he wrote the book of Mark, but you read how she had prayer meetings in her home. When Peter is in prison, where does everybody go? Hey, go to Mary's house. Why? Because they know that's where the prayer meeting is going to be going on. She had found her gifting. Her boy got into ministry, got out of ministry, wanted back in ministry, was rejected from ministry. I imagine there was a praying mama behind those doors saying, "Hey, God, my boy's confused and he's frustrated and he's beating his head against the wall and he's quitting. Now he wants back and he doesn't know what to do. And Paul doesn't want anything to do with him and all of this." But there was a praying mama in there. There was somebody that had found her gifting, that she could get into a prayer room and touch God. People knew that they, hey, when times got tough, let's go to Mary's house. There's going to be a prayer meeting. When things weren't right, let's go to Mary's house. Why? Because she had found her gifting. Now, does that mean if prayer's not your, no, prayer is not something that, you know, there are some people that they're like, woo, and you're like, oh, wow. And does that mean that we don't pray? No, that means we all need to have a relationship with God. But there are some people that can go places in prayer that it's just that God has placed something inside of them, that there's something there that God has called them to that place, and they can go into deep places like others can't. And then there's folks that's got ADD, and they can pray a little bit, but they get sidetracked, and they get, you know, and we've got to understand that we've got to work and become and work in the gifting that God has placed us in. Am I saying, oh, if you've got ADD, that means you don't pray? No, we've all got to have a relationship with God. That's going to be hammering on in the next service. We've got to have a relationship with God. Cornelius was a prayer warrior. That's why his family was filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because he prayed till it happened. He was a good man. He was faithful. He did everything that he was supposed to do, but there was still something inside of him that said, I have not yet touched God the way that I want to touch him, and my family has not touched God the way that I want them to touch him. And so he was a prayer warrior, and he prayed until his prayers, what did the angel say, came up unto God as a monument unto him. There was something that he did. There was something that changed the atmosphere, because he was in his gifting. He was in a place that he was hungry, that he opened up something for the entire Gentile nations, because of somebody that found their groove and they began to be hungry and they wanted what God had for their lives. I'm running out of time. I want to talk to you about four things. I'm going to try to make it simple. You've got pilots, you've got flight attendants, you've got ground crew, and you've got air traffic control. And in order for you to go anywhere in an airport, you have to have all four of those things. In order for anything to happen, you've got to have all four. You've got to have a pilot. The pilot gets in, he's not the friendliest guy on the airplane. Southwest has a couple of them that have personality. The rest of them, nothing. And they walk in, they take their bag, they take their suitcase, they hand it to the flight attendant, they turn, they walk in, and they shut the door. They might turn back and look at the little people in the back and give a wave every now and again, but they're going forward. There's no rearview mirrors. They're not worried about what's going on back there. They're worried about what's going on ahead. They're making plans. They got to figure out where they're going. They got to make sure that everything's going all right. And so they're pilots, and they're looking ahead. They're not worried about everybody else's feelings. They don't care if you get Pepsi or not. They're going somewhere. Oh, we're out of chips and crackers? Oh, sounds like a personal problem. We're going somewhere and we've got to get stuff done. And you got pilots. You've got flight attendants, people that they're taking care of. As soon as they walk in, you got people like Martha that they're ready to make sure that you're comfortable, but make sure that everything's all right. Make sure that your bags are where they're supposed to be. Make sure you got your drink and make sure everything's good. You've got the grounds crew. They're making sure that plane backs up. They're making sure that plane has fuel. They're making sure the bags are supposed to be where they're supposed to be. They're making sure everybody's safe. They're checking everything that's going on, making sure that that plane is ready to go. That pilot's sitting up there saying, we're going. He has no idea if that engine's going to start or not. It's the ground crew that's down there making sure that engine's ready to go. He has no idea. Well, the gauge says we're full. All right. He has nothing to do with that. It's the grounds crew that's down there filling the plane up, making sure that that plane is ready to go. You've got the air traffic control. You've got people that they might not be good with everybody else. There's a reason they're not down there giving bags and pouring drinks and making sure everybody's happy. They want to be up in the tower all by themselves, but they're getting stuff done. They're making plans. They're making sure that everything's where it's supposed to be. They're making sure that everything's going safely. They're making sure that everything's together, that all the things are put together, that everything's where it's in its rightful place. They're doing what they're called to do. And when everybody works together, everybody gets from point A to point B in one piece. I'm not going to get to do it next week or the next week, but I might come back and spend a little bit more time on this, because I've got quite a bit more to go on, but I'm running out of time. We've got to figure out who you are. Are you a pilot? Well, I'm a pilot. Well, where are you going and who's going with you? Are you in a ministry? It might be why you're frustrated. Are you a flight attendant? Is that where you're good at, making sure people are taken care of, making sure that people are happy? If that's something you like to do, if you like people coming over, you like hosting people, you like parties, you like, you're probably somebody that can take care. You're somebody. Are you a grounds crew? Or are you the kind of guy that, hey, I don't want to be in front of anybody, but man, give me a job. Give me something to do. Let me make sure the bags are where they're supposed to be. Make sure the airplane's fired up. Let me make sure that everything's where it's going so that when that thing's ready to roll, that everything's going to happen perfectly. When that service kicks off, everything's going to be rolling just the way that it's supposed to be rolling. Why? Because I've been doing my part. Or maybe your air traffic control, the planning, the setting, the making up, the ideas, the stuff, and being a part of it. Now, that just doesn't mean I get to give an idea and walk away, but getting involved. Okay, this is what needs to be done. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. You might not have the ability to build. You might not have the ability to work on the airplane, but you have the ability to see something and say, ah, we can do that. Yeah, I think we've got the manpower to pull that off. Yeah, I think we can do this. And you've got you a Pinterest account, and I hate Pinterest. But you can see things and create things and make things, and all of a sudden everybody's working together in their place, and revival begins to happen. People begin to find their gifting. People begin to work in the area that they're supposed to be in, and all of a sudden things begin to move and work smoothly when everybody's in their place. Peter was an amazing orator, but he was not the greatest of leaders. If he'd have just stayed in his orator position and quit trying to lead everybody, sometimes because of his charismatic ability and his ability to be the one to step to the forefront and his ability to be the one that caused him to be the, ha-ha, I'm the man, forced him into a place of leadership that he probably never should have gone. If he'd have stayed in his gifting, we probably would have heard a whole lot more about Peter than we did. When we find that place that God has called us to be in, if that means you're in a place right now and you're like, oh, this is not my gifting, I'm quitting. Well, if you're quitting, you better find you'll be in the place where in the gifting that you're supposed to be. You don't get to go on break. You just transition into another place. You might say, "Whoop! I'm stepping out of the cockpit and I'm getting me a serving tray. Or I'm stepping out of the serving tray and I'm getting me a wrench and I'm going to go work on something." We don't get to quit. We just transition into our gifting. Amen? Lord, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. God, that you would challenge us and that you would anoint us, oh God. Lord, that we would find our place in you, God. That wherever it is that you've called us to be, whatever it is that you desire us for us to do, God, that your anointing would move and flow in our lives, that you would speak into our hearts and our minds, God, that you would reveal unto us our gifting, what it is that makes us happy, what it is that fulfills us while we're serving, God, that your spirit would move and flow in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. What's your gifting? You really want to be happy? I have people, what makes you happy? Video games make me happy. Yeah, that's not a calling or an ability. I'm sorry. It's not even a way to make money. You're going to be broke forever. No, no. What makes you happy in the kingdom? What makes you happy serving? What is it that brings you joy? What is it that when somebody receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you might not be the one that had your hand on their head, but you were a part of something that says, hey, I was a part of that. I've got ownership in that. Why? Because I've been doing my gifting. I was in my place when I was supposed to be there. I was in my place. I was doing what I was supposed to be. What is a win in your life on a Sunday? What is a win in your ministry on a Sunday? That if I do this, this, and this, and this, it's going to be a win in my life no matter what. You need to look and think about those things for your life. In Jesus' name.